This morning, we celebrate the 9th anniversary of the dedication of our wonderful church. How truly blessed we are to have this awesome sanctuary. You know, for me, I often think back to my roots, growing up in northern Minnesota in the small town of Red Lake Falls, worshiping at Bethany Lutheran Church. It was a small white wooden structure with seating for approximately 100 people. It had a small wooden, white, ornate altar, and it had a very modest organ. Those are my church roots. So you can imagine how it is for me to process in here on Sundays, here in this magnificent church in Renaissance Romanesque style, huge columns, cruciform shape, enveloped above with all of those roundels, each a sacred medallion depicting one of the names of Our Lady from the Litany of Loreto. And should I not mention also the stunningly beautiful stained glass windows that tell the powerful narrative of our Lord from his birth to his resurrection and his reign in heaven. We have the amazing bronze statue of the Virgin and Child sculpted by the French artist Gustave Doré, and the statue of Saint Joseph, a bronze statue as well, the protector of the church. We have statues of Saint Peter and Paul that flank the altar to remind us that our parish was founded on the feast of Saints Peter and Paul in 1853. Our altar is of beautiful white marble. The left panel has the Greek letters Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. In the middle, there's a stylized cross with 5 red pieces of marble representing the 5 wounds of Christ. On the right panel, you can see the letters Chi Rho, the first 2 Greek letters of the word Christ. Then there are the 12 stars on the front of the altar to represent the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 disciples, and the 12 stars in Mary's crown. And did you know the relics in the altar are of the apostles and Saint André Bessette? And our tabernacle. When the tabernacle was purchased, it had only been seen online in pictures. At the time of purchase, we did not know that on the inside of the tabernacle doors, there would be 2 painted angels reminiscent of the Ark of the Covenant of the Old Testament. Those 2 angels are guarding our Lord in the most holy Eucharist. Look for this when the doors are open during communion. The left door of the tabernacle has a pelican with 3 babies, 3 chicks. There was an ancient legend told long before Christianity that during famine, a mother pelican had 3 starving chicks. She pecked her breast to draw blood to give to the babies. It saved their lives, but she lost hers. The early Christians tied this story to the life and death of Christ, who shed his blood for our sins in his death and saved us through his sacrifice. On the right side of the tabernacle door, there is a depiction of the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. We have a powerful digital organ here that can play as soft as a kitten or roar like a lion. We have 4 bells in our bell tower named after saints. And outside, the arms of our church extend into the community. With our social outreach of the church, St. Vincent de Paul, on the left side, and the meeting rooms and gift shop of St. Michael's on the right. There is so much more, but I cannot cover more with the time that I have. But I must remind you that it has not always been this way. Our current church is our 4th church and our 3rd location. Our first church was a wooden structure built in 1867 near the intersection of York and Park Avenue. A hurricane blew it onto the railroad tracks, which is now Park Avenue. The second church, St. Clair Chapel, was built around 1878. The parish quickly outgrew St. Clair's and built the historic St. Mary's in 1903. This present structure was consecrated on February 2, 2015. Since I've been here, many people have told me stories of the long journey to getting this church built. How, for example, at Old St. Mary's, they had as many as 7 masses over the weekend to accommodate those who wanted to worship our Lord and receive the sacrament. Then, for many years, the parish worshiped in St. Angela Hall, with many masses as well over the weekend. Over the years, Father Greg Wilson and the faithful of this parish prayed, planned, worked, and gave sacrificially to build this awesome sanctuary. And I haven't mentioned the great spiritual patrimony of this church, vocations to the priesthood and religious life, strong Catholic families, lives changed forever. Coaches Jim and John Harbaugh grew up in a tiny 2-bedroom house in Iowa City, Iowa. Their father, Jack Harbaugh, an assistant coach at the University of Iowa, and a devout Catholic, had a family motto. He would ask, "Who's got it better than us?" Jim and John and their sister Joni would shout in unison, "Nobody." With humility and thanksgiving to God, we can genuinely ask, "Who's got it better than us?" And the response is, "Nobody." I've mentioned to you some of the marvelous features of our beautiful church. In the second reading, St. Peter enjoins us to know that what matters above all is that when the faithful assemble in the same place, they are living stones gathered to be built into a spiritual house. Living stones, quite the oxymoron, a serious contradiction in terms. So how are we doing this mission, that of being living stones? Do you reflect upon the fact that you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people called out of darkness into the marvelous light? Do you see yourself as a living stone, part of the royal priesthood? In our gospel today, St. John tells us of how Jesus cleansed the temple. Walking through the impressive structures of the temple in Jerusalem must have been an overwhelming experience for everyone. The several courts with their respective classes of people admitted there, the endless corridors and galleries of marble columns stretched throughout the space, the massive walls towering over a stream of countless pilgrims filing through the building to perform the prescribed rituals. What a display of cult and service. Experiencing it must have made the religious fibers of every visitor gleam. Yet the passage tells us of Jesus' rage at the sight of the commercial abuse of this sacred space. Questioned about his authority on the matter, he drew the definitive relation between the temple and his own body. But evidently, he did not simply consider himself to be the new temple to replace the old. If so, the old one could have been dismissed and its abuse disregarded. Rather, Jesus' incarnation fulfilled what was already symbolized and savored in that ancient building. God lives among his people. Whoever has known Jesus to be true God and true man senses what that means. He himself, first and foremost, felt how the abuse of the sacredness of the temple went directly against who he was himself, the presence of God, no longer in stone, but in flesh. The money changer's insult against the concept of the temple was an insult against Jesus' message about God's presence on earth. But there is nothing as sacred as the body of Christ. Nowhere else is Jesus as present as he is in the Holy Eucharist. And precisely through the mystery of the Incarnation and the Eucharist, he teaches us that he does not shun the material and human ways of being present and making himself available to us. Thus, we ought never to transform any corner of our lives into a profane marketplace where he would not feel comfortable. Every courtyard in the temple of our lives has the dignity and potential for Christ to dwell there. We do not want to restrict his presence on Sundays, nor to times of we do not want to restrict his presence just to Sundays, nor to times of prayer and mass, nor just to the moments when we are among like-minded people. All the corners of our lives must be open to him. As we listen to the Holy Spirit in our lives, may all of us look for corners of our daily lives where we have not welcomed God's presence. And so, I ask you again, do you see yourself as a living stone, part of God's holy nation? How does your life reflect that you are a living stone? Are you declaring the wonderful deeds of him who called you out of darkness into this wonderful light? Are you thankful for the amazing physical and spiritual heritage of St. Mary, Help of Christians? Are you investing your time, talent, and treasure to further advance our physical and spiritual heritage?